I kind of gave him an ultimatum. I was like, either you take me home because I don't want to be here anymore. I can't live like this anymore. Or you fix me. Do whatever you need to do in me to heal me from all of this striving and burnout and depression and overwhelm and anxiety. And he chose the latter.
Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. It's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect. And this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. My guest today is an author, a speaker, a certified Christian disc facilitator, co-host of Salted on Abundant Television, and podcast host of Juggling Life, Finding Balance. She's also a retired career professional with over 26 years of serving in the United States Air Force and the Forest Service. A proud Oklahoma native and author of Break Down Better, 52 Restoring Devotionals for Burned Out Women. Please welcome to the program today, Vivian G. Cummins. Hello, Vivian.
Hey, Dawn, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to have you back. You're a brave-hearted woman. You've been here before.
I have been here. It's been about a little over a year or so. I just listened to our previous episode this morning as I was working out, and I was like, wow, there has been a lot of things change since that time.
A whole lot of life went on.
That's right.
If we only knew what kind of brave-hearted woman you were going to be when we were doing that recording, right?
Yeah, God has, at that time, really walking me through a season, but we continued to walk through that season. A lot of lessons learned.
Yes. And now you have a new book out called Break Down Better, as I mentioned at the top, 52 devotionals. But in the opening of your book, you share about a time when you were so burned out, you felt so overwhelmed, you were struggling with depression. You actually pleaded, God, would you please let my heart stop beating so I can just go home? That's a desperate place.
Desperate place. You know, I had, you know, we talked in the previous episode about my struggling with perfectionism and control and striving and all of that. And that really came to a head. And I realized that I didn't know how to stop all of that. And I knew that I couldn't stop. I knew that in order for me to get over all of that, God would have to intervene. And so I kind of gave him an ultimatum. I was like, either you take me home because I don't want to be here anymore. I can't live like this anymore. Or you fix me. Do whatever you need to do in me to heal me from all of this striving and burnout and depression and overwhelm and anxiety. And he chose the latter.
That's so awesome, because you had said in one of your previous interviews, or I read it, that when you cried that out, God said, no, hold on a minute. I'm going to restore you.
Yes.
I imagine, knowing God, it's like, I'm not even going to make you what you were. I'm going to bring you to a whole new place. Tell us what happened. Yeah. How did you find yourself overcoming?
Yeah. So it was so bizarre to me, because that was the word restore is what God put on my heart. It was kind of like a physical whisper, if I can. It was just such an internal thing that when I'm lying on the floor, I'm pleading God to take me home, and he whispers, hold on, I'll restore you. And I've used the word restore so many times. We all know what that means, but it meant something so deep to me that day, because to restore something means to bring it back to its original intent. God is our creator, created us with purpose and intention. And I had floated so far away from from his original design for my life. And so with the striving and the working so hard and the trying so hard and having to have everything perfect, he never asked any of that of me. He only asked me to be who he created me to be. And so when he said, hold on, what he's basically was saying to me is, I've got you. Here's my right hand, grab a hold of it. Let me pick you up off of this floor and I will bring you back to my original intent of how I created you to be. You know, the book is about restoring devotionals, and it's because God wants to bring us back to our original intent.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really significant. And I hadn't understood that when I brought that up, but no wonder the Holy Spirit prompted me to mention that, because there's so much truth and power in that, that many of us are not living according to our original design, are we? We've gotten away from it. We've drifted. And now we're just settling. We're acquiescing instead of living in that full identity of who God created us to be, or that talent or that gifting. We're just kind of limping along in life. And that promise is for all of us, really, isn't it? That God wants to do that in our lives.
Yes. And you know, that one thing that, as you were saying that, just kind of put on my heart was, you know, whoever told me that I wasn't enough? Whoever told me I had to try so hard? You know, nobody did that. It's, well, maybe society, you know, or social media or whatever, inadvertently. But yeah, we are perfect the way God made us, and how he made us with our personalities and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You've talked about the perfectionism and the striving and all of that. Was it just kind of a slow burn, or was there a cataclysmic moment where you were just like, okay, I can't do anymore? What event led up to all of this?
Something that I think had been compounding for my entire life, but I was starting to have a lot of physical ailments that were starting to really just kind of build on one another. It started kind of with headaches, and then I was having a lot of stomach issues. So I was going to the doctor all the time for all these weird stomach things. Then I started having heart palpitations, and then I fainted at home one day, just, you know, passed out one day. I ended up in an emergency room thinking I had a heart attack. You know, so it was just one thing after another. My body was screaming and saying, you've got to stop. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what was leading to it, was my health. Also, I knew enough about myself to know that I was bringing this all onto myself. And that, again, is why I kind of was, you know, crying out to God to take me home or fix it, because I didn't know how to stop. It was almost like an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm identifying with some of that, because while I'm not a perfectionist, I struggled with anxiety in my past. And I remember the first time that I experienced that, and mine was more surrounding post-traumatic stress from childhood abuse and things that were starting to make their way to the surface. But it started with, I think I'm having a heart attack, and in the emergency room. And oh, now I have a chicken bone stuck in my throat and I can't swallow. And I've lost my voice. And I was a singer, so that was a very horrible thing. And then, yes, I had the headaches and I had, you know, vertigo and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just all my body advocating for me, sending signals and warning signs that were saying, you can't keep all the balls underwater. You can't keep the past hidden when it wants to be known, so that you can let it purge through you and unload it, instead of just kind of keeping it in the dark because it's there. So I remember those days, and it's your body saying, listen, you got to change direction, change your course, do something, or we're breaking down here.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened to me. And I think that's what happens to so many women out there as well.
To so many women. So you share openly in your book about your personal experience with this burnout, but I imagine you've learned so much from going through it. It's not like, I want to go through it again, God, don't hear that. But what shaped you? What did you learn? Your testimony, how did it deepen your faith?
Yeah. So a couple of things there. Yes, God didn't cure me, if you will, from my, lifelong burnout process. It was a little bit at a time. And, we talked about it in the earlier episode. He revealed to me that spirit of perfectionism. He revealed certain strongholds that I've had in my life. We had to work through each one of those, and God is such a loving God. He didn't just like dump all of this on me and tell me all these things that are wrong with me. Little by little, he would start to reveal some areas that I needed to work on. Anger is the one that I'm currently working on, which is, it's so crazy. I was like, God, I don't have an anger problem. And yeah, I do. I have an anger problem. And that's part of, you mentioned in the introduction, I became a certified Christian DISC facilitator, because the DISC is deals with our personality traits. And I became just infatuated with learning more about myself to understand why I am the way I am. And that's kind of one of those things that showed me about how anger, God gave us emotions, and it's not a sin to be angry. It's what we do with that anger that can get us into trouble. And so it's just little things like that. Once I find like, okay, I think I'm good on this, God. And he's like, okay, let me show you another little thing that we need to work on. But I mean, from glory to glory to glory to glory, he's refining me and I'm learning every single day. And it's just kind of funny now. I can find myself like when I, the one thing that really will set me into a rage, Dawn, this is so crazy, is my printer. This printer in me go round and round. And so the last time it gave me so much trouble, I found myself starting to get really angry. And then I just stepped back and I'm just like, not today, Satan, and just kind of giggled and took some deep breaths, walked away, came back, fixed it, and it worked fine. So I'm getting there.
That's so good. It's so good because every time you interrupt that pattern and choose a different pathway, we know the neuroscience now says, oh, okay, we used to just automatically go here with this emotion. We all have a favorite home base emotion. But now your brain is going, wait a minute. And it allows it to, every time you interrupt that, to build a new neural pathway. And we do a lot of that work. We do brave thinking on the Brave-Hearted Woman. And talk about that, because some of our emotions, yes, emotions come to us, but some are just our habits, because we've wired, or our brain has been wired and programmed to be that way. So it's hard and holy, sacred work to redesign and become aware of that, tear down those thoughts and change direction. I also know I was such an angry young woman when I was a young adult. For me, I didn't get angry, I had anger. Like that was an emotion that protected me from feeling the other emotions. I didn't want to feel sad or rejected or shamed or inadequate. So I just allow myself to feel angry, because that could be about you, and it could be about this dumb thing and that thing. It didn't have to be that I was flawed and broken. So that was a deep work that the Holy Spirit did in me when I finally felt safe enough to experience my real emotions. I think perfectionism can sometimes have that same, or control can sometimes have those same things where if I do it perfect, I don't have to be faced with the fact that maybe I'm not enough, feeling insecure, pushing, striving, because my acceptance, my identity is wrapped in this thing that I'm doing. What did you learn about your identity in Christ during this time?
Well, I'll tell you what, that actually came when I retired. I retired, what year is this? This is 26. So I retired last March 2025. I took an early retirement that the government was offering. And I thought that I was prepared for it. We always think we know what we're going to do. I thought I'm going to go into full-time ministry. This is going to be great. But I started really struggling with the identity, because I used to be Vivian with the title behind my name. I used to have a bunch of staff. Everybody used to come to me, and I used to be the go-to person, had all this status. And then now I'm just sitting here at the house. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I really struggled with that. And, and again, that's when God started kind of saying, okay, again, let's go back to the beginning, who you are in me, who I created you to be. The job was just a resource. It provided some income. That was never who you were. Let me tell you a little bit about Vivian. And so God's been kind of teaching me about myself and who I am and the personality and the innate things that he's instilled in me and what they were supposed to be used for. You know, the perfectionism and all that other stuff. Now I kind of flip that script. It's excellence. It's not that I have to be perfect. It's the expectation is to be excellent in all that I do, you know, to honor God. And so we're learning. It's like you said, all those little neuro things. I'm learning new pathways little bit by little bit. And I'm giving myself grace. And I'm trying to be very patient with myself because I also have that type A personality that just wants to get everything done now. But I'm having to give myself some grace in so that I can really dive deep into my spirit and soul and learn who I am in Christ. And so, yeah, I'm always on a journey, it feels like, but it's good.
I think we all are. You know, that's well said. We are on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage. We're all becoming, like you said a moment ago, from glory to glory. And I had the same thing. You know, when you lose titles, we don't recognize maybe how enmeshed our titles are with our identity. And when that thread is pulled and that thread is pulled, if we feel very vulnerable or very balance, like I don't know what I do now, or who am I important to, or who, what relationships, what. And even if we don't have titles, you know, as midlife and beyond, most of my women are probably beyond midlife, but it's a transition. Whether we like it or not, we're transitioning. Our kids are out of the house, probably our bodies are changing, our
Oh,
careers
yes.
are changing. Our metabolism is changing, you know, a very interesting time of life. And, you know, we're all on that journey. You know, when we think about this whole area of overwhelm and striving and burnout, I think it's kind of sneaky. I think it's the silent epidemic, as you call it, even, that really can wreak havoc with so many women. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. I think that as women, we're so used to being everything to everyone to the point where we neglect ourselves. And then, you know, your body starts to be neglected, your mental stability becomes neglected, your spiritual life becomes neglected. And little by little, you just start to erode away until you have that breakdown, you know? And so, we're not good at, about asking for help. I know for me personally, you know, asking for help or admitting that I was having any type of a mental crisis, it was a sign of weakness for me. And so I never wanted to share. In fact, you know, my husband knew nothing about any of this stuff that I share in my books or that I've shared on podcasts. He didn't know those things. You know, he comes from a background where you just suck everything up and you just get it done. He's prior military and he has a certain mindset that you just get it done and you don't show weakness. And, you know, I kind of played into that a little bit. You know, my cancer journey, for example, I had cancer back in 2021 and my husband, he took great care of me, but his way of helping was like, babe, you got to get your mind right. If you don't think you can beat this, you're not going to beat it. And you know, you can't let it get you down. And yes, there is so much truth in that, right? Our thoughts and stuff definitely do have so much to do with our physical health. But I also felt like I couldn't grieve. I couldn't grieve the loss of part of my leg that I had, you know, had to have taken out for the cancer. I couldn't grieve all of the things that I was doing because I was trying to be strong. And so I think, you know, one of the things that I have learned in this journey and that I try to impart upon women is do not be afraid to ask for help. You know, if you're feeling down and you just can't get out of it, you need to get some help. Because eventually you're going to get to that point where you're on the floor, like myself, wanting to commit suicide. And praise God, he delivered me from that. But there's a lot of people who don't get delivered from that. And so that's the one of the biggest things that I try to advocate for women now for is just to ask for that help.
Yes, that's so important. I'm just going to say it again. There's no shame in asking for help. And sometimes, brave-hearted women, asking for help is one of the bravest things that you can do. Are there telltale signs that somebody might be heading for a crisis or emotional, mental? I know we don't really break down so much, but just that hit the wall that I can't go anymore. I can't do it anymore. Are there
aside
signs to
from,
look for?
I think so. I mean, first I would say the physical signs. Listen to your body. I couldn't even form a thought anymore. I mean, it started off and it was kind of funny because I would like misplace things and I would find my readers in the refrigerator or the pantry. I mean, just dumb things. And then I would look at, like, for instance, I could look at an apple and I would call it a banana. I mean, I just couldn't think. And it was funny at first, but then it got kind of scary. I'm thinking, okay, do I have dementia? Do I have early onset of Alzheimer's? What is going on with me? But it was just my body just slowly breaking down. So I think that physical things are definitely, a red flag. Started becoming very, very tired and not wanting to get out of bed. I did. I forced myself, but if I had my choice, I wouldn't have. Yeah, I was so incredibly exhausted. And then I was not finding any joy in anything, N nothing. Everything that I enjoyed doing, it wasn't fun. So I just stopped doing everything. So I just kind of, all I did for the longest time was just sit and scroll my phone, which is a horrible habit to get into. But it kept my mind numb. I could look at stupid stuff and just not have to think about nothing. And so those were really big signs for me when I was like, oh my gosh, I am sitting here doing nothing but scrolling all day. I'm exhausted. My body's fighting me and I have no joy. Those were scary for me because I'd never gotten into that deep of space before in depression.
Great warning signals to be paying attention to. So the loss of joy, fatigue, the loss of motivation, I suppose you could say, and then the body starting to give those signals of whatever it is. I know for me, stomach ache, headache, aches, cramps, those kinds of things where again our bodies are telling on us. They're saying, listen, you're about to hit a wall. And then, of course, the first panic attack that led to months of anxiety and panic attacks. Praise God, it was all treatable and, we come out of it. But maybe somebody listening today, you're feeling that you're like, yep, that's right where I'm at. Yep, what do I do? Who do I call? How do I stop this? Well, I'd say call your pastor, call your doctor, share with a trusted friend, an ally, but don't keep it a secret. Am I on the right track there, Vivian?
Absolutely. My first thought on that was, what God told me, hold on, grab my right hand. I will restore you. But a lot of times, God's not, again, he's not just going to pull us out and everything's perfect. There'll be work that needs to be done. And sometimes that work is getting help from a trusted source or the 1-800, suicide hotline. Or, I mean, there's tons. I mean, even if you're not feeling suicidal, you can still call those numbers and there's still people on the other side that's confidential who can talk to you and, get your mind in a space where then you can reach out maybe somewhere locally and get that help. But yeah, hold on, grab God's hand and let's get to work.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a joy to talk with you today. My guest today, Vivian G. Cummins, the author of, tell us the name of your book again, Breakdown Better.
Yes, it's called Breakdown Better, 52 Restoring Devotionals for Burned Out Women. And alongside of that book is a guided journal called A Better Way. And I'm actually very proud of that piece of work because it's for that woman who's ready to dive deep and go and partner with God. It has self-assessments, it has journaling prompts, and at the very end, I work with the folks to write an action plan forward and of how they'll live their life moving forward a better way.
Wonderful. And they can get that through you or on Amazon.
Yes, they can get it through Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart, and Target are both also carrying it. And they can also go to my website, viviancummins.com. They can grab them there. There's also a free downloadable resource called A Better Way Forward. And my hope is that this resource will fall into the hands of women who are looking to do a women's group study utilizing these two materials. And so that is, I think it's about a 45-page booklet that you can download for free, and it will guide you step by step to do a women's guided study.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we'll make sure all of those links are in the show notes, everybody. Great to have you on. Listen, ladies, if you're heading for a burnout, this is your moment. This is a call from God to you specifically that says, hold on, daughter, I will restore you. Take him at his word, reach out, talk to someone. And I'm here, Vivian's here. You can reach out to us. I'm going to leave you like I do all the time, brave-hearted women. This is Dawn Damon, your brave-hearted coach, asking you, is it time for you to find your brave and live your dreams? Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now, for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Bravehearted Woman: Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.